Well, good evening, everybody. We're excited to have you here with us today. I've got a couple announcements real quick. Small groups are getting ready to start back up. They start in August, so if you are interested, there's a list in the back of when people meet, and then you can go and talk to them, but I do believe that Pastor Kylan is announcing those leaders on Sunday, too, and they will have some more information. But if you're not involved in a small group, I really encourage you to get involved. Not only do we learn more about Jesus, but it does connect you with people, and we're supposed to be connected, amen? We're supposed to do life together. Monday night prayer also is starting back up in August, and that is every Monday from 6 to 7 right here. And Serve Week is August 12th through 16th, and there's going to be a list coming out very soon of what we're doing each day. Try to come if you can. It is so awesome to do something together as a team with one goal in mind. Like, it just blesses my heart so much. We had a great time last time. Our kids got involved. So I just encourage you, if you're able, to come out for as many nights as you can. Well, if you're ready, we're going to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords together. If you are able, just stand to your feet. And God, we give you the glory tonight. We give you our attention. I pray that we can be a blessing to you, Father, as you are a blessing to us. That we would give you our first fruits, Lord, because you are good and you are worthy to be praised.
Open your eyes, awaken. Thank you. just your nature. You won't go changing now. I can't recall a single time you let me down. When I found you faithful, the God who breaks no vow, you kept your word so many times that I lost count. And that's just your nature. Just your nature, you won't go changing now. I can't recall a single time you let me down. When I found you faithful, the God who breaks no vow, you kept your word so many times that I lost count. That's just your nature. You won't go changing now. I can't recall a single time you let me down. You never let me down. You never let me down. Oh, oh. You never let me down. You never let me down. Down. You never let me down. Oh, oh, you never let me down. You never let me down, not even once. When I found you faithful, the God who breaks no vow, you kept your word so many times that I lost count. Just your nature, you won't go changing now. I can't recall a single time you let me down. You never let me down. You never let me down. Oh, oh. You never let me down. You never let me down.
The enemy tries to lie to us and say that we're alone. But after you've gone through a storm or a battle or whatever you're in, you can see all the times that God was protecting you, all the times that He shaded you from the enemy, all the times that He provided when there was no other way. And it's like, you never did let me down, Lord. You never did leave or forsake me. You were there the whole time. Father, we thank you that you are so good, that even when we are distracted or we can't see you or feel you, Lord, that you are still there. We know, Father, that you will never let us down, that you have already claimed our victory, God, that you have marked us as your bride, that you came once, Jesus, and you're coming back again. We just thank you for who you are, how good you are, Lord. You were good yesterday. You are good today. You will be good tomorrow, Father, no matter what fiery furnace we face. God, we are not alone. You will never leave us, Lord. You will always be with us. We thank you, God, that we can have the promise of you, Lord, knowing that you will always be there. Just come and have your way tonight, God. We give you all that we have in the name of Jesus, the name above every other name, the one who deserves all of our worship. Amen and amen. Well, if you would, just go around and greet some of your family of faith this evening. We're so glad to have you here with us.
Testing. Testing. All right, we have come to the portion of our gathering tonight where we want to say a prayer for the offering that we're giving to the Lord. So if we can all just turn our hearts and minds to the Lord while we can go to prayer now. And Lord, we want to start this prayer off by saying thank you for all the many, many blessings that you have given to us, Lord. Many. And Lord, as we think about the tithe now, we remember back about 2,500 years ago, Lord, when you came to Moses in the tabernacle and you told Moses, gave him instructions to the children of Israel on just how they and why they were giving their tithe. And years later, we remember, and that was given us in the book of Leviticus. And years later in Isaiah, Lord, it was foretold that the greatest offering of all time would be given, and that's when God's own Son would offer up his life for our salvation. What a tremendous blessing. And now as we gather together here to bring our offering forward, let us just keep in mind, each one of us in our heart, as we remember, Lord, that the tithe is the ultimate purpose is a worship to you. And it's a way for us to keep you number one in our heart. It's a way also, as the song said, I exalt thee. We exalt thee when we worship through our giving. And as each one of us now gives their portion, let us keep each one of us in our heart and in our mind what you taught us in the New Testament in Corinthians, and that is, if the heart is willing, the gift is always acceptable according to what each one has, not according to what each one does not have. All this, Lord, we pray in the name of your most precious Son, our Lord, our Savior, who gave the ultimate sacrifice of much suffering and death for our eternal salvation. Amen. Before I introduce our speaker, I would just like to ask if someone would be willing to stay afterwards. I talked to Brother Tom Burkholder, and he has back pain again. And as some of you know, that back pain will bring you right down to your knees. And the great medical system we have today in this country, well, he can't get in until Monday. So there's nothing worse than pain of any kind, but back pain is really bad. And so after the service, I don't know, Tom, if you can come up, and if some people would be willing to stay, let's gather around and say a prayer for him. That's what more loyal brother do we have than Tom Burkholder? I've seen him get hurt many times. He comes to church no matter what. Tom, if it's too difficult, we will come to you. But after service, I'd like us to pray for him. He's our brother in need. All right, and so I'd like to introduce our guest now, Brother Pastor Darius.
Amen. Glory to God. So good to be back in Urbana to share the word of God with you guys. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Kylan for entrusting me the opportunity to come and share the word of God. That really blesses me, because normally pastors want to be present when they have a guest. But when pastors are not present and they have a guest, it means they trust that guest. So I'm honored, and I'm really glad to be back here and see some familiar faces. Before I get into the Word of God, let me just testify, first of all, what God is doing in our ministry. So 8 months ago, my family and I, we decided to make something really crazy. And it was to plant a Hispanic church between a cow farm and a cornfield. And it's a washed white area. There's no, like, it's not Florida where you see a lot of Hispanics. But God sent us all the way from Cuba, and he was very specific to lay in our hearts to come to Cary, Ohio. We could have been in any other part of this great nation. I got friends in many states, Texas, California, Virginia, friends in the area of Florida, many people that I love and I've served for years in Florida who speak Spanish. But God brought us to Cary, Ohio, and the order from heaven was you're going to plant a Hispanic church. So for some people, that was really, really weird. And for some others, was impossible. But since Jesus was raised from the dead, the word impossible must be deleted from our hearts and our minds. Can I hear an amen? So we decided 8 months ago to have our first service. And it's been a journey. But we are so grateful to the Holy Spirit that last Sunday we had 42 Hispanics in our service. Beautiful. The first service that we did, 20 of them accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. That was the very start. So those are the kind of things that would just push us and force us to give God all the glory. All the glory is for Him. And I want to testify and thank the Holy Spirit for what He's doing, also for the Pastor Joe Turner and the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God, who opened the doors for us to plant this ministry, to start this ministry that is growing. So if you remember when you talk to the King in your prayers, would you mention that to Him? Would you tell Him, hey, look at that brother from Cuba that came all the way from Cuba to Cary, Ohio, to reach out Hispanics? Sounds crazy. But the thing is that more and more Hispanics are coming to the area, and we want them all for Jesus. We want them all for the cross. We want them all to go to heaven. So please help us to pray and help us in any way you can so we can continue to reach their lives with the word of God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it crazy that people come from other nations up here and they find Jesus? That's a blessing. So the way we see it is that God has allowed us to open a heavenly gate in this earth so people can go to heaven through those gates while they're still in this earth. Okay. So greetings from my family. They would have been here, but my son is at a youth camp. My daughter and my wife, they've been working till late, so they said we cannot make it. So I am just praying to God that the message tonight will just transform your life. The word that I want to share with you tonight is not just a normal word. I'm telling you that for the glory of the Lord. It's not a normal word. It's a word that if you grab, it's a word that if you get a hold of it, it'll change your life. It'll change the way you worship. It'll change the way you pray. It'll change things. Maybe you need a change tonight, and maybe God sent me with this word to bring that change in your life. Now, before I do start, I just want to say something that is very important to me to say. Did you know that there's nothing quiet about heaven? Heaven is not going to be a quiet place. Okay, two people believe that. The rest is still quiet. But let me say this. Heaven is not going to be a quiet place. How do I know that? Well, read the book of Revelation and find out how there is noises and sounds louder and louder. Angels singing. The similar to the sound of many waters falling down. So the Niagara Falls is nothing compared to the sound that we're going to hear in heaven. And I realized when I came in here that there was noise in the house of God. You guys were having fellowship, and that's fantastic. That is a great thing. And then I also saw how so graciously our sister said, now go and say hi to someone in the family of faith, and you guys moved around. And again, I was able to hear noise as you guys were talking to each other, giving somebody a hug, and how you doing, and how is this and that. But then I noticed that as soon as we started praise, the noise was gone. And most of you were just listening but not singing. And even now that I'm preaching, and even after you guys talked to each other, the silence came again. Now, I want to encourage you tonight that the same sound and noises that you make when you talk to your brothers and sisters in fellowship, you can also make it when you praise the Heavenly Father, when you worship His name. When they are singing up here, you can also lift your hands and sing and be loud, because there's no sin in being loud. So tonight, it's very important that we pay attention to something. I did not tell anybody, not even Pastor Callan, what I was going to preach about tonight. And when I heard that they were singing that song, "You Deserve the Glory. You Deserve the Glory," I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Because tonight I'm going to speak about the cycle of glory. Now, have you seen that logo on the garbage cans or some of the plastic containers that they use for recycle? Have you seen the logo? It's just arrows doing a little circle telling you that what you put in that thing can just go somewhere and come back to you somehow. So it's a recycle. So I'm going to speak tonight about not a recycle, but a cycle. The cycle of glory. So what it means is that the glory of God has two sides, and it's revealed in the word of the Lord. I'm going to, first of all, explain to you this so you can understand where I'm coming from. So one side of the glory of God is described in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 and 16, when Moses had a conversation with God before Moses was entering in the promised land. And it's that part that we probably all remember when Moses said, "If your presence," listen to Moses, "if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us from here, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate," listen folks, "so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Moses understands the principle. And Moses says, without your presence, we are just like anybody else. Without your presence, we are just like any other people in the face of the earth. So God, it's very important to me that you come with us in this promised land. It's important that your presence will be with us. That way, you will separate us from the rest of the people in the face of the earth. We need to understand that the only thing that will make a difference in God's people is His presence. We can gather together many times a week. We can sing songs. We can listen to conference after conference, preachings after preachings. We can listen to people singing, people preaching. We can do all that. And then if the presence of God is not in the midst of us, we are no different than any club or any group of people that say that they believe in something. You know, what makes the difference for the Church of Jesus Christ, that is the Church of Jesus Christ, is the presence of Jesus Christ. That's what Moses understood, that the presence of God was the element, was the thing that they needed to be able to succeed where they were going. We are so blessed today that we don't need to say, "God, if your presence is not with me, I will not go." No, because God will answer, "My presence is not only with you, my presence is in you. I have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart since the very moment that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and repented of your sins. So my presence is always with you." We are hosting God's presence 24/7. The great question is, do we know it? Do we live it out? Do we really model that presence that dwells in the church, that dwells in the heart of the believer? Now, when God says, to Moses that his presence will go with them, he said it in this way. He said, I will also, the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. I will do that. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Does God know you by name? So he says, Moses, I know you by name. And he said, this is so critical. Because now Moses shows a different level of being hungry and desperate for God. Because not only Moses says, we need your presence. Now Moses says these words, please show me your glory. And that tells us that one thing is the presence of God, and another thing is the glory of God. What is important to know is that God will never, listen to me closely, God will never refuse to manifest his presence for the right reasons, and he does it by grace. But Moses displays another level, saying, God, show me not just your presence with us, but show me your glory. And this is what God answers. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. God says, and God agrees to pass with his glory. Now, that's one side of the glory of God. It's the splendor of his power that always goes with him. See, whenever God goes, it's not something like he says, oh, I am there, but I left my glory. No, wherever he goes, he brings his glory. Now, pay attention to me. The only time that God got rid of his glory was with one purpose, and it was to save us, when he came in the form of man through his son Jesus Christ. He left his glory, because if he would have come with his glory, it would have been impossible for people to look at him. That's why when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory of God descended, and the disciples were frightened, and they could not even look straight, because the glory of God is the splendor of his power that in our sinful nature cannot be seen or admired, or it would kill us. But because of Jesus, because of him, now we can be participants of that glory. Now, this is one side of this glory that we're talking about. Another side of the glory is described in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 29. The Bible says, give, listen to me, folks, give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So we have one side of the glory that says, one side of the glory that says, God travels with his glory. He moves with his glory. The glory is part of his essence and nature. But then the Bible says that we should give God the glory. Hold on. Why does God need us to give him something that he already has? So that's very important, because the Bible does say that we ought to give God the glory. So if he has all the glory, but he also says, give me the glory, it means there's something about this glory that is a great benefit and asset and blessing for us. And that's what I call, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that's what I call the cycle of glory. God in his power has poured down his glory upon human beings. He's given human beings glory. And now it's our duty and it's our responsibility to take that glory that he's given us and give that glory back to him. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Psalms 115, it says, not to us, God, not to us, but to you be the glory. So we thank you because you've given us glory, but we give it back to you. And God says, as you give me the glory, I will pour more glory. So that's the cycle of glory. If this glory thing is so important, folks, isn't it important for us to know what the glory is? Because attributes is one thing, but the glory of God is another thing. And as I said before, the glory is the weight of the splendor of his glory. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the devil has a conversation with Jesus when he came to tempt him in the desert. And the devil said these words, all this authority I will give you. The devil is telling Jesus, all this authority I will give you, listen folks, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it will be yours. Listen closely. You know, Satan is the father of lies. He'll take some truths from God, twist them, and creates a lie out of the truth. Now, listen, he says to Jesus, well, you need to pay close attention, I'm sorry. He says, if you worship me, I will give you the glory of everything that I own. Now, some people, I've read books and I've heard some people saying, yes, the glory of the world was Satan's, and that way he offered that to Jesus. Now, I have a little bit of a problem with that. Because the reality is this one. The devil was offering Jesus the glory of this world. But my question would be, how can Satan offer God something that God does not need? How would Satan offer God something that belonged to God? And here's the answer. The type of glory that Satan was offering Jesus was a counterfeit, fake glory. Not the real glory. Why do you think you go to places like Vegas and they have so many neon lights and so many things to call your attention? It's with the purpose of creating a glory. But it's a fake glory. Now, let me give you an example. When some of you were not Christians, like I was not Christians, a Christian before, I was 19 years old, and you would go to a nightclub, you would go to a disco or something, they have all these lights, and you can barely see each other. And all the beats and things just to create that type of glory and atmosphere and that type of environment that will captivate people. But when the lights are off, all you see will be crack and dirty walls, probably. And maybe you're dancing and having fun with a girl, and you think like, oh, she is beautiful. When the lights are off, you look at her, it's like, oh, she's not that pretty. Because all that is meant for you to buy into a fake glory. So as people of God, we need to understand we do not need to create a fake glory. Why would we need a fake glory when we have the real glory? Why would you have a vegetable hamburger when you can have a meat burger? If I Satan says, if I give you all this glory, I'll give you all this glory if you worship me. Now, let me say something very clear. When you're sick, when you're going through battles in life, when you're going through hell, let me tell you something. God is not after your life. Because he knows that if you die, you go to heaven. Satan is not after your health. Because he knows that God has the power to heal you right away. What Satan is after anytime you are under attack is he's after the glory of God. He's trying to find ways that you do not give God glory, and by complaining and doubt would embrace his fake. That's why it's so important that it doesn't matter what you're going through. You still need to give God all the glory. It doesn't matter what you face. Even if all hell is breaking loose, go on your knees and say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he has the power to raise me up from the dust. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't know why my son is addicted. I don't know why my marriage is going through hell. I don't know why my health is affected. I don't know why my finances are going left. I don't know why. I don't know. But I do know something. God, yours is the glory. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You deserve the glory. When you do that, you are defeating Satan in his ugly face. Because he's after the glory. That's why he offered that to Jesus. Because the reality is, he was offering something that Jesus didn't need. But if Jesus would have said, yeah, I want some of that, then Jesus would have been giving him the glory. And that's what Satan was after. And that's what Satan is after when he's attacking you. Now, when I talk about the cycle of glory, I'm going to say something very important here for you to know. But this is so important because we see the glory of God and we think it's like, oh, when I worship him, I receive the glory of the Lord upon my life. But God says, yeah, I'm pouring my glory upon you. But this is the thing. Are you giving me the glory back? Are you keeping that cycle open? Satan will come with attacks to hinder and break the cycle. But when you not allow him to do that, it's when you, despite everything you're going through, you keep the cycle rolling, giving God all the glory. Now, I want to say something, like I said, I want to say something that some people might find a little bit controversial. And what I'm going to say is that there is people in this earth that are not Christians that have glory in their lives. Let me give you an example. Elon Musk. He has glory in his life. I can mention Lionel Messi, because we Latinos, we love soccer. But just to make my American friends happy, I can mention probably Michael Jordan, or I can mention also, what's his name? C.J. Stroud? All of these folks that do things that seem impossible, they have glory in their lives. Even the moon and the stars have glory in their nature. All of these people that display an incredible wisdom and intelligence have glory given by God. The problem is that most of them do not give God the glory due to his name. Let me prove it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39 to 41, the Bible says, listen closely. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. Listen closely, folks. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. You see what I'm saying? So glory is something that has been given by God to the moon, the stars, the celestial bodies, but also the terrestrial bodies, including men, animals, birds. God has shown and given glory out of his essence all over his creation. But this is God's plan, that those who know his son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those who are called the church of the living God, are the ones that understand the mystery, that even though God has given us glory, that glory is not for our own use and benefit, but it's that glory that we give back to him to keep the cycle of glory open. Are you understanding it tonight? How does God feel about his glory? What does he say about his glory? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 9 through 11, God says, "For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you. Not because of you, but because of me," says God. And he says, "so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not of silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." And listen to what God says. He says, "For my own sake." For my own sake, he says twice. When God says something twice, it means it's very, very important. He says, "For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it." Listen closely. "For how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another." The type of glory that I receive from my people, I do not give it to another. I want to say something here that is very important for you to understand how important this glory is. Even people that have been sent to hell by rejecting the salvation provided through Jesus Christ will one day give God the glory. Hitler, Mussolini, Fidel Castro. I want to tell you one thing. I come from a nation that communism destroyed, socialism destroyed. And the one responsible for that type of evil deed was Fidel Castro. Even today, my people is struggling in ways that you have no idea. I could spend all the night telling you the things that Cubans go through because of communism. And one of the things that Fidel Castro was always very clear is that he always openly said, "I do not believe in God." He was raised in a Catholic school, but he would always say, "I do not believe in God." Careful when a country tries to get rid of God. When a country tries to get rid of God, it's signing basically the death and destruction sentence. Years ago in my country, it was part of the culture
their kids will tell their parents or grandparents, Papa, the blessing. And that would cause them to say, God bless you, son. But one day communism came and said, no longer. You're not allowed. Throwing a bunch of pastors in jail, causing all kinds of things apart from God. I will tell you this, my beautiful friends and family in Christ. Don't allow that thing in your country. Don't allow any system that gets rid of God. Because we need to keep the cycle open. Where a group of people, a remnant, can keep saying, God, you deserve the glory. Now, how do I know that all these guys will, even in hell, will one day have to give God glory? The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he says these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, talking about Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, you can give Lord a hand clap. Yes, all the glory. Yes. Make sure that in your house, in your family, in your church, wherever you are, you keep that cycle open. Whenever God does something on your behalf, you feel glory. But do not forget to give him back all the glory. Sometimes when I speak in places, I speak the word of God, I teach the word of God in places and all that, people come to me after the service and they say, Pastor, what a great word. And I'm always very careful to say, to him be the glory. Thank you for acknowledging that God used me, but I don't want any glory. Because I am who I am, because the great I am told me who I am. And without him, I'm nobody. So I always have to make sure that we give him all the glory. When you sing in the platform, when you play an instrument, when whatever you do, the Bible says, if you eat, if you drink, do it all for the glory of the Lord. The great author, C.S. Lewis, wrote these words in one of his books. He says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. Let me say it one more time. He says, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy. When you enjoy a good steak, you say, oh, it was good. When you enjoy some good ice cream, you say, this ice cream was awesome. If you've never had a Cuban coffee, you don't know what coffee is. Because American coffee is just water with color. Just teasing you guys. Teasing you. When I have a good Cuban coffee, I say, I'm not kidding right now. Sometimes I invite people over to my house and I make some Cuban coffee. Guess the first thing they say, how can I make this too? I give them the recipe on Amazon, buy this, this, and this, and bam, I'm turning into half Cuban from there on. But we delight to praise. That's how we are. That's if we make any anthropological studies, I know that's a big word, anthropological. It means just human being studies. If we study human beings, we'll find that we delight to praise what we enjoy, like C.S. Lewis said, because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. When you see your wife all nice, dressed up, what do you say? Girl? Don't do like that husband that woke up one morning, Saturday morning, couldn't find his wife at home. She came around 11 or 11:30 or noon, and then he said, "Where were you?" She said, "Oh, I was at the beauty parlor." And then he says, "But it was closed, right?" You didn't get it. Maybe next time. Don't do that. You express praise when you see her nice dressed. You express praise because not only expresses that you're enjoying what you're seeing, but also completes the enjoyment. It is the consummation of enjoyment. Do you enjoy God's presence? Then you got to praise. Do you love the name of Jesus? Then you got to praise Him. Have you ever seen in your life the goodness of God? Then you cannot hold yourself from praising Him. Because praise not only expresses the enjoyment, but also is the consummation of that enjoyment. Remember the 10 lepers? When Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to the priest," 10 of them, all of them were healed as they were walking towards the priest, but only one of them came back to do what? To do what? No, not only that. See, we know He said thank you. We know that He came to praise Him. But the Bible says that He came to give God the glory. He was completely healed. Because when He came back to say, to give Jesus the glory, you got to understand that Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Oh, hold on. He was already healed. What does Jesus mean by whole? This is what it means. For the other nine, they could see the healing, but the scars would probably remain. But for the one that came back to give the glory, all he experienced was wholeness. And wholeness means total, perfect restoration. I'm a firm believer that this one that came back went back to his house without any scar from the disease that he went through. Because he was the one who understood to keep the cycle of glory open. That is why worship is so important. Because worship is the moment provided by God and also the worship leaders so the church can give God glory. The Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And it also says, "But we shall then know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him." One of the wonders of God's creation is what we call the cycle of the water cycle. I don't know if you studied that at school. You probably did. The water cycle. And the water cycle is know the thing that how there's condensation. By the heat of the sun or other elements, the water that is in ponds and rivers is condensed and goes up in a form of steam or vapor. Goes up and turns into clouds. But there is a moment where those clouds produce rain. And there goes the cycle again. The water cycle. I think God's teaching us a lesson there, because water is vital for life. And I think He's teaching us the great lesson that, folks, pay attention to the way I created this thing that you guys need every day, which is water. And even if you spend 3 days without water, you cannot make it probably the fourth day. And you certainly die after 5 days without any water. This is the same way I created the water cycle, I have created the glory cycle. But you guys are the ones that are supposed to keep it open by thanking me, by giving me glory all the days of your life. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 19, verse 1, and I'm almost ending, says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. I think we should read this same scripture in another version to see the poetic figure, the poetic sound of the psalmist. And it says on the in another version, the TPT says, God's splendor is a tale that is told, written in the stars. Space itself speaks His story through the marvels of the heavens. His truth is on tour in the starry vault of the sky, showing His skill in creation's craftsmanship. What a beautiful picture. Tonight, I want to end this message by allowing you to give God the glory. To give God the glory. I have been in places where people have been able to utter things that God has done in their lives, giving God all the glory. And healing has taken place in the heart. Did you know that sometimes there are even people that feel that God has failed them? They don't say it. They don't talk about it. But they look at those moments of something that happened in your life, and in the bottom of your heart you say, God could have prevented this. God had the power to avoid this, but He didn't do it. Why, God? Why, God? Believe it or not, folks, there's a little wound there that you need to heal. And sometimes by saying, I don't understand why, but I give God all the glory, healing takes place. Would you come back to the piano, please? And can you just bring that song again, You're Worthy of It All? Can we stand up tonight? Before I let you go, and I got to drive an hour and 30 minutes to go home tonight, so I'm probably the one that has to drive the most to go back. So if you're in a hurry tonight, just bear with me for a second, because I got to drive longer than you. So, but we got to do something upon this word tonight, don't you think? Because if we listen to the word and we don't act upon the word and we don't do the word, we're just like anybody else who would look at themselves in a mirror, and once they turn back, they don't even remember how they looked. That's pretty dumb, isn't it? Can you imagine just looking at yourself in a mirror, combing your hair and getting your hair done? Oh, that looks nice. And once you turn around, just 1 second, you say, oh, is my hair done? You've got problems if that happens to you. You've got serious problems. But let's look at that spiritually. I just thought about my wife. She goes back to the mirror 1,000 times before we leave. But it's not because she's got problems. She just wants to look nice. But if you forget, it means you read the word, you listen to the word, but you don't do anything the word says, then you're just like that person who doesn't remember the appearance. So let's act upon that word, this word. Let's sing it together. Do you hear me? Let's sing it together. I will challenge you tonight to sing it together. Please, I don't want anybody in this place like an expectator. Just you are in the house of God. If you shout and you are excited about a football game or a TV show, and you don't do it over here, I would say there's something spiritual going on. Nothing wrong about doing it over there, but if you don't want to do it over here, maybe the flesh is taking over. And it's time to say, flesh, no. Praising the Lord and giving God the glory is more important than anything. So can we sing it tonight? And I want to be watching. Was God and my family. But that was all I needed. That was all I needed. God and my family by my side. Let me tell you, I got to give God the glory. Because God has given me probably triple now what I lost. He's given me things I never thought He would give me. He brought me to the U.S. to plant a church that is thriving and growing. Now, when people that pointed fingers at me and said, I can't believe he did that, now they have to look at me and say, I know it was God. And when I hear that, all I gotta say is, yeah, he deserves the glory. So it doesn't matter what you're going through tonight. If you do the right thing before God, he will bring you back to your feet, and your ladder will be greater than your past, than before. That's what God does. He's an expert in redeeming. He's an expert in restoring. He's an expert in giving you things back that you that the enemy tried to steal from you. And God allowed me to bring my family to the U.S. And now, the four of us, my wife, my son, and my daughter, we're all serving the Lord in this country. Now we all have our beautiful citizenship in the United States of America. See, now we live in the greatest country in this planet. So I look at all that and I say, you deserve the glory. There was nothing in me good to look at, but it was you. Has God done something in your life that you know it was Him? And tonight you can say, God, for this little thing that many people didn't see, or maybe some saw, but I do know one thing, God, you deserve the glory. I remember that day I had an accident. I would have died, but God, you saved me. For that, you deserve the glory. God, I remember when my family or my marriage was going through hell, but you saved my family. You saved my marriage. For that, you deserve the glory. Or maybe, God, I lost that marriage. It was ugly. It was bad. It was painful. Betrayal really hurt me. But here I am, still standing because of you, with a second chance in my life, because you deserve the glory. Even for the things that I do not understand, God, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. Come on, say it with me. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. Say it. You deserve the glory. The opportunity, because I feel there's something is going to break loose and something is going to happen in your heart. I'm going to allow three people to share very briefly something for what you give God the glory tonight. Just think about something you are able to share that God did in your life that you want to share with everybody in a loud voice to give God the glory. Who is the first one who is bold enough to say, I am giving God the glory? Don't be shy. Yes.
I give God the glory for rescuing me from a life that I couldn't rescue myself from. A life of drug addiction, a life of running around, a life of living on the street, a life where I didn't know Him, where I had a whole family who was saved praying for me, and every time they tried to come around tell me about Jesus, I would shun every one of them. I wanted nothing but the world and loved the darkness. And then He came through and He said, darkness isn't becoming of you, son. The light's been shown in your life, and I've got a call on you. So I'm going to rescue you and pull you up out of that pit so you can walk high with me in Jesus' name, and I give Him the glory.
Ah, we rejoice with you, brother. Who's the second one that says, I'll give Him the glory? Anybody else? Come on. Yes.
I want to give God the glory for giving me back my husband who almost died on me several times. And now his health is much better. I want to give God all the glory. Thank you.
Do you see what happens? Do you see what you're doing? You're praising God. She gives God the glory. You're rejoicing with her. That means you understand that something is being broken and something is being loosed, and you understand that you are moving that cycle, giving God the glory. Who's the last one that's going to give God the glory? Come on. One more, and I won't let you go. Come on, brother. Come up here. Hallelujah. What is it that you want to give God the glory for?
Well, for me, it's a long story. I was born with an open heart, and ever since I had to have open heart surgery, and they said I could walk or talk or do anything, and here I am.
Because our God has the last say. Our God has the last say. Let's receive our brother saying one more time. Come on.
You're worthy of it all.
Hallelujah.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. For you deserve the glory.
Lord, let your glory fill this earth just as the waters cover the seas. Lord, we look forward to the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, not because we want people to go to hell, not because we want people to get what they deserve, because we want you to get all the glory that you deserve, Lord. Every knee, you deserve every knee and every tongue to give you glory. Everything that's been created to give you glory. So we look forward to that day. We give you glory this night for everything good and every situation that we're in our lives, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we give our brother a hand right now? We'll say thank you, Pastor Herrera, for bringing the word tonight. We're going to take up an offering. So the bucket's up here. And if you were moved, if you heard the word, I heard the word. If you were inspired to glorify the Lord, if you were reminded of something that you said, oh yeah, that may have been a tough time, but I gave the Lord glory and here I am now, just like Johnny, then be faithful. The word says don't muzzle the ox as he treads out the grain. Remember, you're being obedient to the Lord when you bring what you have. Amen? Thanks for coming. Go in peace. Come back Sunday, 10 a.m.